I'm Gab, he's Jules. Blue skies over West London, definitely not blue skies over Manchester City. Many reasons, Jules. No. This is such a packed show because you've got Liverpool losing and then Klopp being extremely grumpy and unhappy. Casemiro sent off, Real Madrid losing. Bayern nearly throwing the game away. Kimmich getting sent off. The Milan derby, so much to get into, but there's one place to start. We have to start at the Spurs Stadium. All right, it's remarkable, I think, despite the fact that they've been there five times under Pep and lost there all the time, that Spurs beat
Never
City,
scored,
given the malaise, given Coulter not being there. There's a massive story breaking as we go to air, which we'll mention, the fact that that four-year Premier League investigation, I was so adamant about this. I said, listen, either bring a charge or drop the investigation. Yeah. Nobody should have this hanging over them for 4 years. Well, guess what? They have now been charged with a whole raft of breaches of Premier League financial fair play dating back to 2009. Yeah. But the game itself, and I want to start with a positive. I don't just want to point out City's flaws in this, because I want to start with Spurs, because I thought without Conte, they went out there, they played well.
Yeah.
I don't buy this curse of the Tottenham Stadium. To me, it's happenstance and whatever. Harry Kane, though, he gets the goal. He has not beaten Jimmy Greaves' record. Yes. I'm sorry. He has not. He is not in the real world, but he will very, very soon. Only Wayne Rooney and Alan Shearer ahead of them on the all-time scoring table in the Premier League, obviously. I think he's going to pass Rooney. He needs, what, 8 goals for that? Shearer may be trickier, but remarkable. He could have had more later on.
Yeah, I was at the game, to be fair. We felt like really a very special moment, which it should be. And it's an amazing record to break when you think that 9 years ago against Sunderland, he made his first start for the team and the team Sherwood scored his first goal. And then 266 have followed in 9 seasons. It's remarkable. 200 in the league, as you said, in 304 games, which shows how incredibly talented what a player he is, he's been, he's worked so hard for it. It's great. I mean, yesterday on Sunday against City, gifted that goal by terrible mistake by Rodri, of course. And then it's one of the easiest finishes that Kane would have in this record amount of goals. But still, they defended well. Their shape was really good. They fought hard. And I think they were very much helped by the fact that Pep Guardiola got everything wrong in that game, from the starting 11 to all the substitutions that he made or didn't make.
Right. Just to remind us about the way Pep Guardiola set up in this game and some of the choices. Inevitably, the critics are going to say, he's overthinking. I kind of think when you go and you play this lineup and you leave Gundogan out, you leave Kevin De Bruyne out, Ruben Dias and Laporte, Ruben Dias was the freaking player of the year not that long ago. You saw him afterwards doing sprints on the pitch. He looks fit.
He looks fit, but maybe he was not fit enough to start a game like that. I don't know.
A game like that against the mighty Spurs, and you're better off with Akanji and Rico Lewis.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, he's been very happy with Akanji and Ike in the last few games. Rico Lewis, because he plays him so much as an inverted fullback, bring clearly something that he loves, and I thought Lewis did well in the game.
Fullback, like he loves inverted fullbacks, like the Portuguese guy who just went to Bayern.
Yeah, but he didn't love him anymore.
That's why
he sent him away, you know, like that. Although he says that he still loves him, I don't think he does. But the 4-2-4 and that front four of Grealish, Mahrez, and then Alvarez and Haaland together in the center just didn't work. I don't know what was the idea against a back five, a defense with 5 players. I don't know if you thought having 4 forwards would help you, because Spurs were very comfortable all the time, apart from the Mahrez shot on the bottom of the bar at the end of the first half that came from a Spurs mistake. But apart from that, they felt very comfortable. They were never 2v1. There was never an extra City player somewhere. So whatever Pep thought before the game just didn't work.
I thought with Alvarez and Haaland effectively playing through the middle, I would have thought, all right, you're going to get a ton of pressing, you know, high press, and it's going to be effective. And, you know, they'll have through balls. One comes short, the other one goes long. We saw none of that. Erling Haaland ending up without a single shot on goal, just a handful of touches. None of them in the box.
None of them in the box.
I mean, that's on Pep.
That's on Pep, I think. And also, I think Bernardo Silva, who we all love and he's an amazing player, but in that system, touches the ball far too much. And I was sat next to Yanagi Fjortov, a friend, of course. And we were looking at Haaland especially. And every time he was making a run, the ball would never come, apart from the second half when De Bruyne tried to play him through, and then there's a good defending by Davis, I think it was Odaya. But so they never even used his runs and his scores in the front four, front two like that with him and Alvarez. Alvarez the same, by the way, making those runs that no one was giving him the ball to. I just think that, yeah, City, which enough there happens. It can happen to anyone. But I thought De Bruyne came on too late. And by the way, he played him out wide on the right for most of that second half. Made no sense. Gundogan on the bench until 80th minute made no sense either.
I think the difficulty is when you have when your off day coincides with making all these decisions, which appear unusual. Anyway, Jules, can we just knock this transportation issue on the head? He said it takes 4 hours and 20 minutes to get from the training ground to their hotel, right?
Now, yeah, in London.
Tottenham, of course, they're not in central London. They're way north London, near your house.
Yeah.
So I'm assuming it should be a little bit near. I don't understand, unless you hit a ton of traffic and you go by bus, I don't understand why they wouldn't fly, maybe charter a plane.
Wasn't it the Premier League Green Weekend? So I don't think any teams flew, maybe. So you take the train and the train on a Sunday, as Pep would know, because I'm sure they would have taken the train down before. It is difficult. The train on a Sunday, if you live in the UK, it's difficult. It takes longer than usual. I think usual the train from Manchester to London is 2.5 hours. On Sundays, is significantly later. But then leave the day before. Why don't you leave the Saturday? Teams who used to play away from home used to leave the day before, spend the night at the hotel like they do in the Champions League, for example, still for most of the time, and then play the next game. Now more and more teams travel on the same day, which then don't complain and don't start giving me the like, oh, we were tired because we spent 4 hours on a train. I mean, like, come on, what do you mean it's exhausting to be on a train for 4 hours?
I mean, I just think it is such a bad look to go and say something like this after a defeat. Just take it on the chin. Did it mess with your prep? Yeah, maybe. But you're not going to get any kind of sympathy from anybody.
But how can you mess up your prep? Well, you knew before. No one said to Pep, we'd be there in 2 hours. And after 4.5 hours, Pep was like, what? You told me to? No.
I'm guessing normally if you fly to London, it's going to, if you charter a plane,
you
fly
that
down.
This time they were not
going
to fly. So
it's a different prep. It messes your prep that way. But whatever. It doesn't matter. It's just not a smart thing to say after this defeat. No. I want to get into this a little bit because, like I said, the Cancelo thing, I don't want to harp on this, does not sit well with me, right? Because he's a phenomenal footballer. I don't care that he played badly. He's a phenomenal footballer. He's ideally suited for the system. I know Rico Lewis got a lot of praise and everything, but he's a guy who didn't even figure in the plans in the summer. So, you know, it's a bit, it kind of leaves me a little bit saying, well, all right, obviously, if you get rid of Cancelo in midseason, it's not because Rico Lewis played a couple good games. I suspect that doesn't speak to a healthy, happy family of bunnies. Equally, I look at Calvin Phillips. I know he's been injured. He comes here. This dude doesn't seem to ever play, right?
Yeah, no, he comes on nine again. I saw him, I think, against Chelsea in the FA Cup game. He came on.
Phil Foden felt sick overnight. Maybe, I don't even know if he traveled down. I'm assuming he didn't travel down, because it was the night before. All these things coming together at the wrong time. And then, is he proving a point? Because, look, Akanji's fine, but these other guys are better players, the people who are keeping on. De Bruyne is a better player than who you're putting on the pitch.
Yeah, I think the De Bruyne on the bench is just a tactical choice that he made. He went for De Bruyne doesn't really have a position in the 4-2-4 formation. You can play him next to Rodri, but that's not really his game. I mean, I'm not sure it's Bernardo's game very much, but anyway, that's another matter. I think Gundogan would have been the best suited to play next to Rodri in the two in midfield. But then he doesn't cover as much ground as Bernardo Silva does, for example. And so that's why I think, so you decide to play the 4-2-4 formation because you think that Alvarez is going to help you and Haaland up front to have that line of four. So there's no room for De Bruyne. So you put De Bruyne on the bench thinking, if it doesn't work, I'll change it at halftime or after an hour, like I did at Chelsea when they were not playing well, when he got it wrong again already. There's a few games now where he got the starting 11 wrong and the tactics wrong. And then because there's so much talent in that squad, you can change at halftime and things get better. This time they didn't get better. And again, you know, to replace Mahrez after 55 minutes or 59 minutes, to put De Bruyne on and still Bernardo Silva went wide, De Bruyne went central, and then De Bruyne went wide when Bernardo came off. I just, none of it makes sense to me whatsoever. But I don't think that Cancelo in a game like this would have made much a difference.
I was just talking of the broader issue, because there are sort of some rumblings. If you're looking around and you're saying, you know what, Liverpool stink this season. Mm-hmm. United and a new coach, the Ronaldo chaos, whatever else. We should be ahead of Arsenal in the table, right? You take a step back and you look in terms of talent. And now instead you have this odd situation where they're not looking good. And look, I mean, maybe they'll catch Arsenal. But especially with Arsenal losing the day before.
Yeah.
At least put up more of that, you know.
You feel like a big opportunity missed.
All right, let's praise Spurs a little bit. For me, what they did really well in this game, obviously the first goal, you make your own luck, blah, 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 blah. But they defended, I thought, really well throughout. And for me, that was a story. And then when they broke on the counter in the second half, they did have numerous chances. So, I mean, I think at least two with Kane. That I can think of, one when he didn't, one was at the near post, and the other one when he kind of failed to connect on that cross when he was just short, right?
Yeah, yeah, and then there's the 1v1, yeah, with...
So I look at this, I thought Heung-Min Son also, he's not maybe back to being the Heung-Min Son we know, but certainly a lot more productive, worked really, really hard. Højbjerg in the middle of the park, I thought had a monster game.
Yeah.
All of this bodes well.
Yeah, I mean, they went back to what made them good last season. They attacked with three and Kulusevski, Son, and
Kane. They didn't sit as deep as we've seen them do before.
No, because I think they saw what happened in the FA Cup game between City and Arsenal, in the sense that the City team doesn't play the ball over enough for Alvarez or for Haaland. So
you can play it over, you can play it through as well. If you have De Bruyne who hits it through.
Do that. Yeah, but even he doesn't, to be fair, that's not his first reflex. That's not how they play. So Arsenal did it really well, even if they obviously lost against City. But they did it really well. And Haaland was very average, let's say, against Arsenal in the FA Cup game too. And he was very average there because he never had the service. We mentioned no shot. No touches of the ball in the Spurs box because of the way Spurs defended. They defended well. At times, he was still a bit wonky, let's put it that way. And Romero got sent off because he still makes some crazy decisions of like, I'm going to tackle you, Haaland, 70 yards away from my goal, where there's no need to.
So
takes a yellow, so unnecessary. And at times...
And the one on Grealish as well. Grealish, I thought, kind of bought that one, but...
Yeah, but still, you know, they had to... And Grealish was really the only one trying to make something happen for City, which was not enough.
But even then,
Emerson really defended well on him.
I feel that when Grealish tries to make things happen... It's a lot of just running one-on-one and getting fouled or beating players.
Yeah.
It's not that kind of passing. It's certainly not crossing for balls for, I mean, you know, that little kind of diagonal cross that they've had so much success with in the past, which is obviously De Bruyne's specialty, which again raises the question, why did he come on so late? Grealish doesn't, it's not a natural part of Grealish's game.
No, definitely not.
It wasn't part of Cancelo's game, funny enough, but hey, let's leave that out. So unless it was Mahrez, and I thought Mahrez was generally pretty well controlled on the other flank.
Yeah, and he came on.
Those balls aren't going to come to the strikers.
No, yeah, that's very true. And I mean, Akanji had that shot on the second phase, I think, of a set piece. But then there was just not enough. I think City's expected goal is 0.93, which is the second lowest or third lowest of the whole season. And, you know, when you look at the games that they lost or the game where they haven't played well, it's often because, it's too sloppy, it's too slow, the tempo is not high enough. And Spurs, what Spurs wanted is to avoid the transition from City. And they did that really, really well. Only really, we mentioned the Mahrez shot under the crossbar was the one time where Spurs were caught a little bit on that kind of transition move. But apart from that, they did really well. And you know what? I thought before the game, Conte is not going to be there. He spoke to them on Zoom or FaceTime before, whatever. And I think you can use that as extra motivation for the players. Like, you know, do it for me. I can't be with you, but do it. Show me you can defend well on them. You know, we've beaten them. Last season, we beat them away at City. The season before, they've never won here. You know, all that kind of stuff. And I thought they responded really, really well. And the crowd was up for it from the beginning.
I think also we should point out that, you know, you, since you made a big deal of the fact that they lost at Spurs every time they've been there under Pep, how about the fact that every single time Christian Stellini fills in for Antonio Conte, three times at Inter, at Marseille in the Champions League, and now this, the man is undefeated.
Exactly.
In fact, the man has won every single game. And his name, you know why? Because Stellini means little star.
Yes.
He's a little star ready to grow bigger.
I have to say, I love him. He looked a little bit, he was not sure what to do on the bench for most of the time. But you know what? I bumped into Fernando Llorente on the way. He was there at the, you know, at the he was, I guess, a guest at the stadium. And we arrived together at the same time. So we said hello and everything. And after saying goodbye to him and walking away, I thought, I mean, yeah, he was obviously the reason why Spurs knocked out City in the Champions League, you know, at the Etihad after they won that first leg here. And I did think, oh, maybe it's a good omen that he's here. He might have been there before this season, but it was the first time that I saw him. And I was like, okay, maybe before the game, so maybe it's a good omen that you're
on. That's what it was. Look, this is what we're stretching to find reasons. But I think the reasons are they had a bad day. And I think Spurs had a really good day. City's day obviously got worse. We touched upon this before. This is a breaking story as we record this. Yeah. So we do have a few more details. My old colleague Martin Ziegler in the Times breaking the story. And there is a Premier League statement up. The Premier League statement is so ridiculous. You know my thoughts on lawyers, right? The statement says, like, you were reading this before, right? In 2009-10 season, violation of Premier League Rule 32B, blah, 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 blah,
blah. B13,
yeah, E4. Oh, my God. Like, subsection 4, Article 2.
Can you tell us what it is?
Absolutely horrendous to read. Honestly, if you want to put something as clear as mud. Anyway, so the long and short of this is, this all dates back to the same thing that caused UEFA to reopen their case against City, ban them for 2 years, and that ban was later overturned.
By CAS.
And that is a man named Rui Pinto and the Football Leaks files. Rui Pinto is a Portuguese hacker. He started a website called Football Leaks where he started putting up documents and contracts, a whole range of things, mostly around Portuguese clubs initially, then spreading out. That's how we know, for example, about the Cristiano Ronaldo allegations with Catherine Mayorga. Yeah. That's how we found out how much money Gareth Bale made, all these things, right? He's responsible for all of that.
Yeah.
We're still not 100% sure. I mean, we know we have strong suggestions about that he hacked this one particular law firm. We don't know how he hacked other stuff. Yeah. He says, oh, it's not really hacking. People give me stuff.
Got them,
Like, yeah, okay, whatever. Anyway, UEFA, on the basis of this, and after this information was given to the German magazine Der Spiegel, who published it all on their website. I think a lot of it is still there.
Yeah, you can check it out.
You go read it for yourself. UEFA brought the case, banned City for 2 years. Now, what did they ban City for? The case was that, I mean, there's several allegations, but the main one was that City sponsorship deals with Abu Dhabi-based companies essentially weren't real. Mm. Now, these sponsorship deals, for those who are like, oh, of course not, you know, the same guy owns everything. Yeah, okay. But what happens is if, say, Etihad sponsor Manchester City and they give them $10, the way financial fair play works, City looks at it and says, okay, UEFA look at it and say, okay, this is a related party, so we're going to assess it at fair market value.
Yeah.
So to assess it, they get experts, marketing companies, and say, okay, well, Manchester United, who are four times as big in terms of fans, from their comparable deal, they get $5, so we're only going to count this as $5, right? Over time, those amounts have increased because Manchester United, all those clubs got bigger and bigger. The allegation and in Der Spiegel suggests that what City were actually doing was they had a shortfall. They would literally just call up these companies, mostly Emirati companies or companies with strong ties to Abu Dhabi, and say, hey, look, we need you to sponsor us for $30 million. And the company would say, okay, and we'll just wire you the money from, you know, Abu Dhabi United Group's personal bank account. Essentially, I'm paraphrasing here, but that's essentially, which is obviously highly illegal.
Yeah.
Now, when City brought the case to Court of Arbitration for Sport and overturned the 2-year ban, in the end, the court found two things. They didn't go into specifics, but they said many of the allegations were unproven, which doesn't mean they're not true. It just simply means they're not proven. Yeah. And they said many of them are time barred, meaning you can only bring this case within a certain amount of time. Mm. That part, oh, and incidentally, they still fined City a record fine for obstructing the course of justice and not cooperating with the investigation. In the Premier League's investigation, there is no time bar. They can go as far back as they want, which is why many of these, it's more than 100 breaches, go all the way back to 2009, to 2009-10 season. Mm. And they include this season. The investigation's been going on for 4 years. Worst case scenario, points deduction, a fine, theoretically expulsion from the league. I don't think that's going to happen.
And strip them from the titles? So the titles that they won in the Premier League? A bit like what? So Juve or Inter or Juve, you know, Juve did lose the title, no?
I didn't see that mentioned as a possibility. I mean, in Juve's case, going back to Calciopoli,
it was different.
But the stripping of the title, I mean, they were accused of manipulating referees to get an advantage on the pitch. This is a little bit different.
Yeah,
I guess.
Yeah, no, for sure.
I mean, I suppose theoretically, that could happen as well.
Could have transfer bans, or that's the Premier League doesn't
again, Martin Ziegler doesn't mention it in his piece. I don't believe that's a possibility. Either way, I think it's good. Whichever way you think it, we have some resolution. Now City can appeal. City can make their case, and hopefully not. We don't have to wait another 4 years because we get a judgment and we move on and we establish either this is wrong and you cheated.
Yeah.
And you will be punished, and hopefully it's a fair punishment.
Yeah.
Or they're cleared.
I mean, for the credibility of the Premier League financial fair play, let's call it that way, or financial rules, it better be the fairest sanction possible. So whether City are going to appeal, you think so now, and the Premier League would put their case forward saying, okay, this is how we can prove that you broke all those rules and you did that, and Mancini's contract at the time, remember that was
another thing too.
Yeah, it was paid by the club, but the other half seems to be paid by...
It was alleged he had a consulting contract with a club in Abu Dhabi, or certainly in the Emirates, where he was also getting a salary from there, whether he ever showed up to work. It's like those union no-show jobs.
Oh, my. And also, let's remind everybody that, you know, City tried as hard as they could to not give out to the Premier League and to the investigation all the paperwork and all the documents and all the information that they were asking. So if you've done nothing wrong, why would you not give everything that people are asking you for? This is, I think, what at the time, already 2 years ago, something like that.
They went to a court of appeals and said, you have to hand over these documents.
People were ticking already, like, why don't you want to give the documents if you've done nothing wrong?
Yeah. Way? So I'm kind of preempting what's going to happen. If this case is partially based, or the impetus for this case comes from somebody hacking information or illegally obtaining information, as Rui Pinto did. Ethically, Jules, put your ethical hat on.
Yeah.
Should it all be invalidated because this evidence is illegally obtained? Because these were the cases I was hearing from some City fans.
You think that's going to be the defense in a way? That could be.
I don't know.
Defense.
I think I don't know. I just want to say, is this a valid defense?
I don't think, from an ethical,
not a legal perspective.
I don't think it is. From the moment where those things are public, I think from the moment that things are out there, the Premier League, I think, have the right to say, we didn't know any of that. Like, you hid all of this.
We see these in movies.
It was illegal.
We see these in movies all the time, right? The police search your car illegally and find a whole bunch of cocaine in it, right? Can you then be charged, right? What I would worry about more is the fact that they found the whole bunch of cocaine.
Yeah.
You know, legal, illegal. This information is out there. The stain is there.
Yeah.
You cannot mount a defense, I think.
I agree.
Based on it, because you know what? You really look crappy. People are just going to assume that you've been cheating all along and you're getting off on technicalities. Yeah. That's why I think City should demand, if I was a City fan, I demand full clearance. And also, if they're going to go and do this, I want even more transparency about other clubs, because already people are murmuring about Saudi Arabia. Yeah. Already people are going to murmur, well, where's Boehly getting the money from? All this stuff.
Yeah.
Let's have more transparency because it's really important. And I happen to come from a country where people assume that everybody was cheating and lying and stealing and stuff like that. There's very little faith in the institutions. It's critical. One of the great strengths of the Premier League is that more than in other countries, maybe not as much as Germany, but certainly more so than Italy, more than Spain, probably I'm going to guess more than France too. People have faith in the institutions. It's critical, I think, that we achieve some sort of clean resolution here.
Yeah.
One way or the other. So, more pressure on City. I'm sure we'll be talking about this more. Sorry about the boring financial chat, but I just thought it was kind of important that the team that won the Premier League in four of the last 5 years is now being hit by this absolutely massive charge. All right, enough City. How about some quick hits instead?
Good guys.
Sean Dyche makes his debut on the Everton bench, and they beat none other than top of the table, Arsenal 1-0. Jules Arteta says this makes him love his players even more. Does that include Martin Odegaard?
I don't know. I don't know if it makes him love his players more. They just Arsenal were not good enough. They were not up for the fight, not up for how aggressive and intense and physical Everton were. And that's exactly what we expected. You know, there was no secret that Dash, I think, would make that team harder to beat and harder to play against. That's exactly what happened. The midfield of Gay, Doucouré and Onana was really impressive because they were just on it. And they were on Arsenal, aggressive. Partey, I don't think, was fit enough to start because of the ribs injury that he had. You know, and then Odegaard had an off game as well, off day. So it can happen.
Onana monstered that game.
Incredible. But we've said from the beginning what a very good signing he was for Everton. Even last summer, he'd been the best player this season. But in a game like this, where this is his job, you know, he's brilliant. And in the end, Spurs made Arsenal a big favour, of course. So that defeat didn't have the repercussions and the consequences.
So Arsenal fans shouldn't be overly concerned.
No, I don't think so. Although that was a warning sign, though, that if you're not up for it physically, you can have all the ball-playing qualities and the structure and the system and the patterns of play. If you don't respond physically, then you're out of it.
Arsenal getting bullied. It kind of sounds a little bit like a recent stereotype.
It's the first time this season that it happened. So, let's see what they do next. Lautaro Martinez fires Inter to victory in the Milan derby, Gab. But the defending champions were truly horrible. I mean, Stefano Pioli, what have you done to this team?
All right, so just to put this in context, right? Milan were on a really, really bad run. And so they had no Bennacer, who's probably their best passer midfield, along with Tonali. So what does he decide to do? He says, okay, I know. I'm just going to play for the draw. He went out there with, he can call it a back three if he likes, but it was very much a back five.
Yeah.
He played freaking Divock Origi and did not play Rafael Leao.
On the bench, second game in a row.
I mean, obviously, there's a counter dispute and whatever. They couldn't get out of their half. It was ridiculous. And then they're playing Inter. They're not playing Barcelona. They're not playing Manchester City's. It isn't like Pep's Manchester City. I mean, this is still Inter we're talking about.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
The 1-0, if there's a criticism of Inter, is that they didn't score more because the game should have been that close at the end. Then finally, like, light bulb goes off. He sends on Rafael Leao. Giroud had a great chance to equalize.
Leao created that chance,
And Leao created it. Giroud miscontrolled it. What I find really worrying for Milan, this is Milan going against everything that they've played and stood for until this point. So the question is, do you keep doing the same things again and just take it on the chin if you lose, or do you go in the opposite direction? He chose to go in the opposite direction. Yeah. He paid dearly. I don't want to see this mistake again from Milan. For Inter, Lautaro, I thought he was really, really good.
Amazing. Captain as well.
A captain the side. Lukaku came on 20 minutes from the end. Mm-hmm. Inter are in a really, really good place right now.
Yeah.
Manchester United beat Crystal Palace to move within 3 points of City as, who else? Marcus Rashford scores again. But Jules, with Christian Eriksen out, that Casemiro red card is going to hurt.
Yeah, massively. I mean, you can have your view on it. If he really grabs Hughes by the neck, or is the shirt, is he trying to calm things down? Is he very aggressive? There's different angles with the camera you can see.
Don't
raise your hands anyway.
What about the fact that he's the first person there and he pushes? Was it Mitchell that he pushed? To me, that is the thing, right?
I just think...
Like, Mitchell drives Anthony into the wall. Okay, fine, yeah. Right? And again, this is stuff that referees should punish on their own.
Yeah, true.
You go over, don't put your hands on him.
No.
Because that precipitated the whole brawl. Afterwards, I do think he probably realized it. And I actually don't think he was trying to, you know, choke slam poor Will Hughes. I mean,
certainly on Casemiro's face, it doesn't look like, you know, he's... But the thing is, this is Casemiro we're talking about. One of the experience, you know, everything. He should know better. Right. Come on. It's not a young kid arriving and maybe getting a bit excited and there's the fight and everybody's gathering. Like, come on, man.
Unless
I was Ten Hag, I would be... And Casemiro has been their best player with Rashford this season. There's no problem. But then I think he let them down.
Unless McTominay gets fit in double quick time, which I don't think he will, we're going to have Sabitzer and Fred in the next game, which means we're one injury suspension away from Phil Jones back in midfield.
I don't know about that. But by the way, the second goal from Man United, if you haven't seen it collectively, one of the best goals of the season. So well done, and well done for the win as well, because let's not forget, this is a big, big win. Criminal proceedings against Mason Greenwood have been dropped by prosecutors. He was due to stand trial in November, Gab, over allegations of attempted rape, assault and coercive behaviour. Eric Ten Hag understandably won't comment, as the club are now conducting their own investigation, their own review of the case.
So we're very restricted in terms of what we can say because of the way the laws work in this country. And obviously we're taping a show in London, so we are subject to those laws. I think you can form your own opinion as you go online. I think it's important that Manchester United say, we're going to conduct our own review, because they can't just say, oh, look, he's been cleared. Nothing to see here. You know, we're going to respect the law. Let's come back. No, you're doing the right thing in conducting your right review. You're going to have to make your own decisions based on that. What I don't want is Eric Ten Hag every single week to have to answer this question. I think when they do make a decision, I think it has to be above Ten Hag's head to come out and explain the decision. Whatever decision that is, somebody has to own it. This is not Eric Ten Hag's job. He wasn't there when he was there before. Of course, he can have input internally. But he cannot be the face of this decision. Yeah. It's not fair to him. Barcelona extend their lead at the top of La Liga to a whopping 8 points with a 3-0 demolition of Sevilla. Jules, I want to praise Xavi's guys, especially Frank Kessie, who came on for Busquets. But I'm afraid I also need to ask what the heck Jorge Sampaoli was thinking when he took off Youssef En-Nesyri at halftime with a score at 0-0. En-Nesyri was a big, strong center forward, doing okay. And played Ivan Rakitic, who's 34 and not a center forward.
Exactly. And the first half worked pretty well, or wellish, certainly for Sevilla and Sampaoli. And then after that, made no sense whatsoever. I saw Rakitic, I was watching on La Liga, on, you know, the La Liga TV feed, and even Rakitic at the end in the interview said, like, well, we can't come and do this, like what we did in the second half and expect to get even a point here. So even he seems to be in complete disagreement with what Sampaoli did, which we all were watching the game. Like, what? Really? Is what's happening? Fair play to Barca. It took them a bit of time to score the first goal. It was a lovely assist by Kessié and a lovely finish by Alba. And after that, it was much better. Rafinha, I thought, played well in the kind of it's a bit more central position. He's maybe not just a winger like a Dembele type.
Well, he's playing the Dembele position, right? The new Dembele position.
Yeah, exactly. With the four in midfield.
He's so one-footed, though.
I know. But, you know, I liked what I saw from him. So, well done. 8 points clear from Barcelona point of view. It was a very good weekend for them. Bayern win the first league game of 2023, beating Wolfsburg away 4-2 as Jamal Musiala scores a wonder goal and Kingsley Coman as well. And Joshua Kimmich gets sent off. Gab, normality resumed.
So you just slip in the Kingsley Coman.
And that volley inside of the foot.
Yeah, but Jamal Musiala, big guys. I know. Yeah, like, you know, it's fine. Stick up for your boy. That's fine. No, it's not normality returning because you're 3-0 up inside of 20 minutes. Yeah. You play Thomas Muller up front. It's actually working because Musiala can play his real position. And then they pull one back. And I think they didn't. I think they had three shots on goal. From minute 27, I want to say.
Yeah, that's right.
Until the end of the game.
Basically, because they controlled the game in a way. Because they were.
What are you controlling? The Wolfsburg had a million chances. What are you controlling?
No, I know, but like.
Well, you're not controlling anything. And then Kimmich gets sent off, and it was harsh. It was definitely harsh. Yeah, and then all of a sudden, you know, we're not there yet. 3 points, big. Top of the table, but this is not where Nagelsmann wants to be. Bad to worse for Liverpool. They're beaten 3-0 by Wolves, and Klopp is exceptionally grumpy after the game. Jules, can you help him out?
I wish I could, Gab. I mean, if he said himself, like, I don't understand why this is happening.
That's why he's asking you, Jules. Come on. No, but like, you're the commentator. You know he doesn't understand. Do you understand?
I will give you some answers. The thing is, I mean, if he admits this publicly in front of the whole world, then I think this is where you start to be really, really worried, because for him to basically say there's nothing I can do, this is what, for me, this is how I saw it.
Like, what can he do? What would you do?
I think the 4-3-3 has to go now, but we've said it so many times, and I know he's tried different things. He tried the 4-4-2 flat, he tried it with the diamond, he tried, but maybe he could have tried a little bit longer. Maybe he could have tried to, instead of like, okay, let's try this one game, it's not working, okay, let's go back to the 4-3-3, let's try this again. I just think there's a point where this system is not working. I mean, Cody Gakpo in that position, not working. He cannot press. You have to teach him how to press. Right now, the pressing is not good. And if you play like this in that system with this Liverpool team, the press is basically everything that they need. And they don't have it right now. No. It's too easy for Wolves. Defensively, they were shocking. I don't know why Joel Matip is going, he's stopping, he's going, he's scoring an own goal. I mean, they were all over the place. And we said Joe Gomez is not a good player, so he's making mistakes, he's being bad. But again, you can't expect much different than that.
Yeah,
but like, come on.
There was also an incident in his post-match press conference where a reporter, James Pierce of The Athletic, asked a question, and he said, oh no, I'm not going to answer that question from you. I think you know why somebody else asked
for
the question.
For what you wrote, yeah.
But then it turns, which not a good look.
It was not him.
But then it turns out it's not him.
Yeah.
It was supposedly somebody else who's of a different gender and different ethnicity. So
yeah, or use these things. Yeah. I don't know.
It's like, very odd.
But this is where really I think things get right. And Liverpool had chances. You know, Darwin, we've said that many times, could have scored two, maybe even more than that. But Mo Salah's form is also a huge worry as well. A bizarre Nacho own goal means that Real Madrid lose away to Mallorca as Marco Asensio misses a penalty as well, Gab. I guess you're going to say that their squad is not deep enough again. And when Kareem the Dream is out injured, then, you know.
Yeah, it's not just Kareem the Dream. It's Thibaut Courtois. It's so many different players who weren't in the starting lineup. When I show up with Marco Asensio on the expiring contract, Rodrigo, Fede Valverde has been really, really poor for months now. I think it's time that we face up to it. Camavinga has to play left back because Ferland Mendy is on the extended injury plan. None of these things help. And yet still, they took 20 shots on goal.
Yeah.
Vinicius, by the way, I think he was fouled something like 10 times in the game.
Barca as a whole team were fouled 9 times by Mallorca.
Pablo Maffeo gave him a hard time. I think there is an element of protection that needs to be highlighted here because he got absolutely whacked.
On and off the pitch.
Yeah.
This is going too far now.
It's, you know, in the end, look, it was a weird header. I thought Muricy, which I thought would have been, oh, I was so happy for him because he's kind of like, you know, Eastern European Bastos. Yeah. But no. And then Asensio loses the penalty. This was not a terrible performance from Real Madrid. It was a game, though, where everything went wrong for them. And now the gap, as you say, 8 points.
Yeah.
Paris Saint-Germain beat Toulouse, champions of nominative determinism, 2-1. And the winner comes from Lionel Messi, who takes his seasonal total up to double figures in the league. Jules, they had to come from behind. There was no Mbappe. There was no Neymar.
No.
Are you liking Christophe Galtier?
No.
You gonna give a little praise, or is just Messi?
No, that was terrible. It was really bad again. I mean, we go one goal down, and I'm like, "What? This is."
Goal was scored by somebody named Van der Boom.
I know.
Come on, that's
Boomen,
pretty cool.
Van der Boomen. Yeah, Bronco, first name as well. I mean, the guy was born to score free kicks, and he's been very good for Toulouse, to be fair. But just this PSG team worries me, despairs me at time. Why he's not playing the kids from the start is beyond me. But then Hakimi was great, scored a wonderful goal, and then was part of the Messi wonderful second goal as well. So well done, Messi. Not many players, I think. Only 5 in Europe have at least 10 goals and 10 assists in the league this season. One is Maradona, one is Messi, one is Neymar, one is Gnabry. And there's another one.
Answers on a postcard.
Yeah, exactly. Napoli win away to Spezia 3-0, despite being 0-0 at halftime. And it's all about Victor Osimhen. Gab, do your thing.
The best is yet to come. Look, it's not so much about the goals, although on one of them he showed like a 55-inch vertical. The other one was a tap-in. It's before How do you not love the guy? No. They're taking warm-ups. They're shooting on goal. His shot goes over the top. Yeah. It hits somebody. I think I tweeted it was a young girl. Later, I saw a picture. And like, unless she's like the oldest young girl in the world. It's not. But what does he do? He goes into the stands and gives her a hug and apologizes. Come on. Class act all around. Borussia Dortmund played with an extra man for 73 minutes and destroyed Freiburg 5-1 as Sebastian Allais gets his first goal. And Claudio Reyna comes off the bench to score for the third straight game. Jules, I guess it's easier to play with an extra man.
It is, of course, but they played really well. And what a special day, of course, for Sebastian Haller on World Cancer Day, too. It was Saturday. For him to score his first goal for Dortmund after beating his testicular cancer was amazing. Well done to him. And well done to that team. We have proper momentum.
And Karim Adeyemi, too.
Yeah. This was back on Friday. Enzo Fernandez made his debut as Chelsea were held to a scoreless draw at home by Fulham. Gab, how did the most expensive player in the history of the Premier League did?
I was there in person. He looked at this moment in time like he was thrown into the deep end, like he'd only signed 48 hours earlier. He was playing defensive midfield. I don't think that's his position now.
His
maybe
best,
it will be in the future. Chelsea, all in all, wasted some chances, did not play well at all. Booze at the end. Jules, Chelsea could only register three new players for the Champions League, and we speculated it would be Enzo, Mudrik, and Badiashile. We were wrong.
We were wrong because Joao Felix got the third place instead of Badiashile, which I have to say, I'm really surprised. So what, you're going to play Badiashile in the league and then in midweek you're going to say to Koulibaly, hey, I know you haven't played for 4 weeks now, but hey, why don't you come in and start this game? And by the way, don't forget about the weekend. Just have a rest for the weekend. Because Badiashile, oh, by the way, you're not good enough to play in the Champions League. I mean, come on.
I tweeted this out, and these were the reasons that people gave, right? One was, well, it's okay because Badiashile is only going to be third choice behind Thiago Silva and Koulibaly, which I think is not true.
He's starting in the league.
Secondly, Thiago Silva's 39 or whatever.
Yeah.
He's not going to play every week. He can't. He's a human being. And Koulibaly's had a rough season. Another reason was, oh, but it's okay because Wesley Fofana is coming back and Reece James is coming back. So I'm not sure where Reece James, unless you go back to the Reece James at center half. You have Azpilicueta too. Again, not people I want to be playing center back for me. And Fofana, who the hell knows when he's going to be back and what condition he's going to be in, right? He's been out forever. The other reason was, which I thought, two other reasons. One is, defending isn't Chelsea's problem, it's attacking, so they need Joao Felix, which I think is a stupid argument.
Yeah, we agree.
And finally, the other reason I was given is, they really want to keep Joao Felix, and so they promised him Champions League football. Now, I refuse
that's not possible.
To believe that
one. I mean, come on.
I mean, can you bend over backwards even more for George Mendes after you just gave him all the money over Enzo Fernandez? Yeah. Really?
Nah,
really?
That's not possible. Surely not. That's not possible. Formal bid for Manchester United are expected this week, Gab, to obviously buy the club. What are you expecting? What do you think?
I know they're going through a formal process, but I think what people need to remember is that this isn't Chelsea. There isn't a government going to the Glazers saying, ooh, you have to sell this because you're under sanction, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think the Glazers will sit around. They'll see if bids come in, and then they're going to sit on their backside and do what's best for the Glazers, like they've always done. To be honest, you know, compared to when this process started, when it wasn't clear that they were going to finish top four, compared to now, and then there's a share price moving and stuff, maybe the Glazers are thinking, all right, guys, you guys want to bid things out amongst yourselves? We don't even know if Sir Jim Ratcliffe is going to submit a bid because, as we know, the man is a law unto himself.
Yeah.
So
he might wait until everybody does and then he sees, you know, see what he can do.
Yeah, long and short of it is, it may well be that nothing happens. This is, again, to restate, this is not something where the Glazers have to sell. Atletico Madrid are held at home by Getafe 1-1 as Angel Correa becomes the first player I can remember to celebrate scoring this goal while sitting on the bench.
Exactly.
Jules, were they la hosed by that late penalty call? See what I did there?
See what you did there? Yeah, I thought so a little bit. In a game where they didn't play well.
They weren't terrible, though. It's still Atleti. They did enough to win.
Yeah. But against a team that obviously is Getafe. You know, but I just thought, so to start with, before I had 2007, The Correa goal, he scores, it's ruled out, he gets subbed, and then after that, VAR intervenes. So he's on the bench, like everybody have moved on, even us watching on television and in the stadium. And then suddenly it's, actually we made a mistake. The goal is good, let's everybody celebrate. And everybody runs towards the bench. And it's one of those benches that is underground, if you see
dugout,
what I mean. Yeah, the dugout. So it makes for a fun photo. And then that's where you think, okay, they're going to keep that, you know, they're going to keep that that lead. But it didn't. And I don't know, there's something missing in that team. I can't put my finger on
why. We were working on it. We saw Correa on the wing. But what got me was that Saul's back is turned to him. I don't think that's an unnatural position. The ball's going nowhere.
His arms are wide, though. But yeah, I see with you. I agree with you. It's a bit harsh. It is a bit harsh. Roma beat Empoli 2-0 with two Dybala assists on set. This is Bagab. Tell me about Guglielmo Vicario.
I simply put, well, until Magic Mike returns, he is the best goalkeeper in Serie A. He made a ridiculous save. You can go see this on
YouTube.
With
his leg up like,
He's just been exceptional. He's really been exceptional all season. He's been linked already with a number of clubs. You know, he's not super young. I think he's 96, and so he's 26, 27 years old. But, you know, and he plays for a team that obviously concede a lot of shots and stuff, so sometimes it can make you look better. But, man, the dude's something special, I think. A late Jordan Pifok goal helps Union Berlin to 2-1 victory over Mainz. I can't help but laugh when I read this. Jules, it's 5 in a row now. And they were actually top of the Bundesliga for a few hours. Just 1 point behind Bayern and the evil empire. The plucky underdogs from the Alte Försterei get it done?
I mean, remember the first half of the season when we said, it can't last, they can't keep it up. And then they did. But then towards the end, before the World Cup, this time struggling a little bit, and we said, oh, okay, this is it. It's over. But they come back from the break in incredible form. Like, they've had new players. They've added, in a very clever way, some new players. They've got maybe a little bit more depth than in the first half of the season. And things go their way again, like they did for most of the first of the season.
What's his name? Rierson as well, to be fair.
Yeah, true. But it's amazing. So well done to them. They're putting pressure on Bayern, like Dortmund and Frankfurt and others did. So it's good. It's good to have a good title race. Real Sociedad stumble at home to Valladolid as Kyle Lahren comes off the bench to score for the second straight game and win the game. Gab, are injuries catching up with them? I mean, they had chances as well.
Yeah, I don't think it's injuries. They've had the injuries before and they kept winning. And I think they should have won this game. They had a million chances. My friend, the only living Sorloth in captivity, unfortunately did not have his shooting boots today. Not a great weekend for Norwegian center forwards all around. Kyle Lahren, very happy for him. We know he scores goals in Turkey. Now he's doing it for Valladolid. Obviously, we all like Ronaldo Fenomeno. But the good news for Real Sociedad is that everybody else dropped points. Atletico, Betis, Villarreal, all the competition. So there's the third. Nick Pope concedes his first league goal since November. Newcastle are held at home by West Ham. Jules, they've won just one of their last five games in the league. And Bruno Guimaraes is suspended for another two. Reason to be a little concerned.
Well, they just... Yeah, it didn't look like the Newcastle team that we saw before. This little patch there where they're not as good, they're not as fluid with the ball. Almiron, who was fantastic before, is struggling a little bit. I think they're struggling to create, they're struggling to score, even if, you know, they scored in that game, of course, early on, and they were 1-0 up. But then after that, the defensive side of things that had been so solid for them was a bit more
conceding a goal to the packet as well.
Yeah, to the packet as well. On set pieces too. Yeah. The Nicolò Zaniolo saga could be coming to an end. The transfer window in Turkey is still open, Gab, and he could be joining Galatasaray. Please tell me that's not true.
How awesome would it be? Can I just tell you who he'd be playing with if he joins Galatasaray?
Go on.
Dries Mertens, Mauro Icardi, Bafé Gomis, I thought he retired years ago.
Yep.
Juan Mata, Lucas Torreira, Sergio Oliveira, Fernando Muslera, Leo Dubois.
Yeah, it was good. An amazing goal the other day, by the way.
I mean, this is kind of like an all-star team from, like, what, 2012? Why wouldn't you want to go and play with your heroes? Maybe the guy whose posters he had up on his wall growing up. So it's interesting. So the price all of a sudden has, like, again, I don't think Roma played this well at all.
We said that before.
Basically, Galatasaray are offering, I think, somewhere between 15, could go up to 20 with bonuses. Zaniolo has said yes. if you include a release clause, which he wants to be around 30 to 35 million, which I think is frankly a fair release clause.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't know. It's Roma want to get some my cash back. For me, it seems absolutely mad. It's not like he has 6 months left on his contract. He has 18 months left. Why not find a way to reintegrate him, especially if Jose Mourinho says, oh, well, you know, we have a squad to play once a week, but we can't play midweek as well because I just don't have the players to do it. Dude, if depth is your problem, you've done it before. You're reintegrating freaking, remember Rick Karsdorp?
Yeah, he's who's back. Like,
yeah, he's back.
They love each other now, yeah.
I mean, this guy's apologized. I mean, what? Why not? Why not do what's good for the team? For me, it's a bit of a mystery.
No, I know.
Leipzig would also have been second in the table, but they were held by the mighty FC Köln, just girl is strong.
Yeah.
Much for the joy of one Derek Ray.
Yeah.
Jules. I think they're going to regret these drop points because they had a lot of chances.
Yeah, there are loads of chances. They could have scored many times. And it was just one of those days where nothing went their way. Nothing went in. It's a shame because they'd been on such an amazing run. I think 5 or 6 wins in a row with really good momentum, with really good, like what Marco Rose is doing with that team was remarkable. But Con, you know, drew with Bayern. They've had that, they've kind of that, have that sort of mentality. And even if they didn't deserve that draw, they got another draw, which is a very good result for them. There is a controversy in South Africa, Gab, over a proposed sponsorship of Tottenham Hotspur by the South African Tourist Board. Why is the what the outrage?
I think basically the argument is South African Tourist Board, obviously this is government money. They're saying, like, wait, why should we go and sponsor a football club?
When there's a lot of like power cuts and everything in South Africa.
There's a lot of internal stuff. Why don't you go and fix that? Now, obviously, the South African Tourist Board, people say, oh, but you know, if we do this, we'll bring more tourism and more money to South Africa. Personally, I think given that this is South Africa, you know, which is already a major tourist destination, I don't know. I don't know enough about how marketing works. It sounds like a ton of money to be honest, that they're putting in. It reminds me a little bit of the Rwanda deal
with
Arsenal, where President Rwanda Paul Kagame happens to be a massive gooner, tweets about, or certainly used to tweet about Arsenal. Now, the difference is Rwanda doesn't immediately spring to mind as a tourist destination. South Africa does. So it's above my pay grade. I do think they should have a debate internally in South Africa and say, is this the best way to spend public money?
40 million or something over 3 or 4 years, something like that.
Again, if there's a legit business case, make it.
Yeah.
If the guy just happens to be a massive Spurs fan because he grew up watching Gary Mabbitt, then it's a different story. Marseille had not lost since November 1st, but Jules, they came crashing back to earth against Nice.
Yeah, incredible game. I mean, to be fair, again, it was very, very good. They lost 3-1. An amazing goal by Brahimi right at the end. Wonderful. I tweeted that if you want to check it. It's sensational, really. But Marseille, well, I think Hugo Tudor, who we love, and we said, just a bit like Pep Guardiola, messed things up completely by getting the wrong starting 11.
What was the logic of having... why does he start Payet and he leaves out Malinovsky and Alexis Sanchez?
And Vitinha, the new recruit, started as well. Both of them came off at halftime because they were very, very poor in the first half. It was better with Alexis.
Can we just be clear? Paris Saint-Germain got the good Vitinha,
Well, I think this Vitinha is good. And the PSG Vitinha, by the way, started well and not so good anymore. The context for him to make his debut like that, start like that, was wrong. He'd been there 2 days. I mean, I just don't think Tudor was very inspired there. And I think this one is on him, unfortunately. How about your boy, Ali Reza? He gets the equalizer in the 8th minute of injury time. And Feyenoord draw 2-2 with PSV Eindhoven to stay 2 points clear at the top of the Eredivisie.
That's right. The Iranian wunderkind scoring two goals. One of them, like this was plenty of drama. There was a sending off earlier. They came back from two goals down. Again, it's the Eredivisie, but you know what? The highlights are a heck of a lot of fun. And he's a gifted player. Maybe he didn't work out at Brighton, but he is a gifted player. Now it's official. Rafael Varane has retired from international duty. Jules, your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I love him obviously dearly, even if he's not from Paris. And you know what? I like the honesty. You always talk about being honest and everything. And he said he's only 29. He's born 93. So he's the 93 generation. So he's not old, really, to retire from international football, especially considering that he probably would have been the next captain for France with a great generation to go into the Euros.
Which kind of clears the way for Mbappe to captain everything, right?
Yeah, true. But anyway, like, you know, he could have given at least until the Euros. He just felt he couldn't. Physically, he said, I need a bit of a rest. It's too much to play in the league. We play so many games. My body is struggling, really. I think mentally as well. And for him to call it a day, which he's been thinking about a while, even before the World Cup, I think, was really brave, I thought. And I respect his career, of course, and what he won and what he could have won as well. And I think he's been an amazing servant for the national team.
I think the last 3-4 years, you could see things starting to wear down physically, injuries going back to his time completely. At Real Madrid. I was just touched by what he said, because at least, I'm not saying he was a mute and you told me.
You mean.
But he's not one of those guys who overshares over the years,
true,
right?
True.
And so I thought like, wow, you know, this is quite touching.
I know. The semi-final of the Club World Cup are set, Gab. We've got Real Madrid who takes on Al Ahly and Flamengo who will face Al Hilal.
Yeah.
That should be good.
Al Ahly beating the Seattle Sounders in a game where...
Late
goal, a deflection. I thought it was kind of unlucky for the Sounders. I thought they had the upper hand most of the game. Look, Club World Cup, I think we're going to lose this format soon if Infantino gets his way, which I think is fine.
Yeah.
I don't even know where to find it on television in this country.
I don't know. I watched it on French TV.
I know. I watched it on Italian TV. Real Madrid and Flamengo is the final that everybody's pointing to.
Yes.
And it's one of those trap games for Real Madrid, because for Flamengo, it's like, whoa, biggest game of the year. We play Real Madrid. and look, I know this applies to Al Ahly too, but Flamengo are actually really, really good.
Yeah.
So, for Real Madrid, it's almost like, all right, let's get this done. Let's bring this trophy home, you know. So, again, Club World Cup, I think, could be more. Right now, it isn't. Cristiano Ronaldo scores his first goal for Al Nassr in a 2-2 draw with Al Fateh. Jules, it's a penalty, so I guess haters going to hate.
Yeah, it's a penalty. They all count. He won't care. Saved them and got them a point, which is very good. And now maybe we'll feel less pressure. I don't know if Cristiano has ever felt pressure.
I don't know, but he also celebrated his birthday. Did you see that?
Like
8 of his closest friends and they had 3 different birthday cakes.
Yeah.
Do you think he ate even a crumb of any of those cakes?
As we know, he doesn't eat this yet.
Exactly.
So they were just there for the Instagram photo. Italy's under-18 league will trial a new offside rule championed by Arsene Wenger. It can only be a good thing. Gab, what's this all about?
So this is, I think, this is quite topical also in like, if you saw one of the, in the Milan derby, you can go try, I posted the image of it. Lautaro had a goal disallowed where... Literally, it's like part by semi-automatic offsides.
Yeah.
Where it's literally, it's like part of his cheek is offside. I mean, it's completely absurd. So Wenger thinks we're going to promote more attacking play. If he's going to, he's not. I don't want to say bring back, because apparently it was never a rule. But you know the daylight concept,
yeah,
right. So effectively, if there is space between the attacker and the defender, then the attacker is offside. If there isn't space, if there's even a tiny bit of overlap, then the attacker is onside. Personally, yeah, I think this will probably lead to more goals, but I don't know that this is necessarily a good thing. It's not going to eliminate controversy. It's just going to move it further back.
Yeah.
And I think we're going to get more players just playing on the shoulder of the last defender, which I don't necessarily enjoy that much.
No, I agree.
But, you know, that's just me.
Yeah.
Right, Jules, that brings us to an end. But we got to come back on Thursday, because there'll be more of this Man City case.
Yeah,
undoubtedly,
for sure.
There'll be more fallout at City at Liverpool. Undoubtedly, we've got the FA Cup replays. Plenty to go for.
United playing as well.
And Manchester United playing as well. Until then, love the game. Love your neighbor. Love yourself.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate is to not search at all. Don't search. Match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/gab. Just go to Indeed.com/gab right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/gab. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.